Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the J.S. Stevens Podcast. This is episode number 238, dedicated to a man who on March 14th, 1962, became the second NHL player to score 500 career goals. Mr. Gordy Howe, and as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we'll talk a little bit about Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Carson Wentz, the moves that were made for them in the latter part of last week. Calvin Ridley, bro, what were you thinking? And then ESPN found a way to pull Aikman and Buck from Fox. But first, in the midst of Selection Sunday, all conference tournaments have been played and completed, and they have crowned their champions. The men's selection show is over. The women's is underway. And the next thing we know, Tom Brady sends out a tweet. And when Tom Brady tweets, everybody looks, and he decided that now is the proper time to come out of retirement. Tom Brady knows. He knows how to get your attention. Tom Brady knows if he tweets or makes an Instagram post, everyone's going to see it. It's going to go viral instantly, just like this tweet did. I think Tom Brady was a little upset about how things went down when he decided to retire. He talked about it. People that were inside of his camp knew that it was probably going to happen. Well, some knew it was going to happen at some point soon. Jeff Darlington, Adam Schefter, they got the scoop. They broke the news. And I think that's part of the reason that Tom Brady decided to come back. Now, maybe this was the move the entire time. Maybe he was on the verge of doing it back then, said, yeah, I'm going to quit, but then realized, I missed the game too much to not be a part of this game. But I do honestly think that Schefter and Darlington simply doing their job is part of the reason that Tom Brady decided to come back right now. I'm going to read for you word for word the tweet that Tom Brady tweeted on Sunday, March 13, 2022 at 7:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Quote, "These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business, LFG," end quote. Hey, Tom, you got Rob Gronkowski. Who else you got? Do you have all those weapons? Do you have the running backs? Is your offensive line going to be what you need it to be? Is your defense that helped you win that Super Bowl, is that going to be exactly what it needs to be? Nobody knows. You can look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their free agency, see who's there. I think Ndamukong Suh's on there. I think Rob Gronkowski is a free agent. You're going to have so many guys that are going to be free agents right now. I believe their center, his name escapes me. I believe he's a free agent as well. But one thing about Tom Brady, which has annoyed me about his career, because his career and the way that it has gone, the way he has adjusted to different styles of play, adjusted to different players instantly, is that he will adjust. It is March. The season does not start until September. It's Tom Brady. He has learned to adjust to guys that were not as good as Pro Bowlers. He won Super Bowls without Pro Bowl receivers. I mean, he has done those things. So I'm not worried about Tom Brady. I'm not worried about the team. I'm not worried about him adjusting. Only thing I'm thinking about is this because he wants to play again, which I'm sure he does, or is this all to get back at Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter for what they did at the beginning of the year? Because I think there's a part of Tom Brady that's a little annoyed still. That's a little perturbed. That's decided to use that as fuel, what Schefter and Darlington did. Use it as fuel to help him throughout this season. And so, Tom Brady, you decided to come back. Great. Good for you. But just know, I'll be watching, I'll be looking, and I will be excited to come on the J.S. Stevens Podcast at some time on a Monday after a football Sunday, not Super Bowl Sunday, and point out the flaws, point out the mistakes, and point out and say, Tom, are you sure you want to keep playing this game? Are you sure you want to keep playing with these young boys that are half your age? You're probably going to say, yeah. But as the season goes on, and if you keep making these abnormal decisions and abnormal passes, I'll be glad to come on this podcast and talk about the issues you've made. Because you know what, Tom? You messed up my childhood. The Colts couldn't get past you for numerous years because of that defense that the Patriots had. Many people said that it was because of you. I say that if they didn't have the defense, the Patriots that was, the Colts would have gotten past the New England Patriots in the playoffs. So now that Peyton Manning's gone, we saw how Peyton Manning's career went out, I'm going to be looking at you. My focus is on you, and I am going to be excited to come on the podcast, point out your flaws and say, Tom, are you sure you want to come back? Them young boys are hungry, and it doesn't look like you have what you used to have to keep up with these young whippersnappers. Everybody knew Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Carson Wentz would be quarterbacks that numerous teams in the National Football League would want on their team. They could be on new teams in the fall. Everybody knew that. Carson Wentz is going to be on the Washington Commanders. Russell Wilson going to be in Denver. And Aaron Rodgers, I think he used his words wisely to get all the money as he's staying in Green Bay. Just a week ago, right here on the podcast, we had Stuart Brooking from The Morning Brew with Stu, and he ended up talking about him, and I would have had a fun, long conversation about Carson Wentz and if the Colts should move on from him. I think Stuart and I both agreed that people didn't properly analyze a Carson Wentz experience there in Indianapolis. A lot of them looked at his play and said Carson Wentz is the problem, even though you can look at the health of the offensive line, the lack of good receivers that the Colts have, and other things surrounding Carson Wentz's play, including the calls that Frank Reich makes during a game, to say not everything was on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and some might say, in the right situation, he could win a Super Bowl. Yes, he is better than Nick Foles, but there are some bad decisions that Carson Wentz makes that could burn you. They do burn you in the playoffs, in the regular season, which is part of the reason why he has not gone deep into the playoffs. But Carson Wentz is now going to be on the Washington Commanders, and that's going to take me a long time to get used to. Not only that he's in Washington, but the name of the team. My entire life, Washington Redskins. People claim that the Indians and Native Americans don't like that, said it's a racial slur. I have never once heard anybody as a Native American come out and say that's wrong. I've heard people come out and say times have changed. I completely have heard that. But people have said that's wrong. So be it. And I've even heard that numerous Native American tribes even loved that there was a National Football League team that looked like them, that represented them. They actually loved that. But, you know, things had to change. The Washington football team changed their name. The Indians, Cleveland Indians changed their name. The Kansas City Chiefs were on the chopping block. There were numerous high school teams that were going to change their name. Ron Colley, a private high school south of me, about 30 minutes south from where I live in Indianapolis, they were nicknamed the Rebels. They changed their name. All of these changes are coming at the same time. These schools have had these names for decades. Teams have had these names for decades. But then now is the time for change, which is why I think I've heard a Native American say, it's more times have changed than that name being wrong. But I really don't. I won't lose sleep over it. Redskins is gone. Washington football team is gone. I had no problem with that name. But they choose the Commanders. Also, he's going to a team that used to be the rival of the team he used to play for. How weird is that? How abnormal is that? Now, this is not the enemy doing business with the enemy, because the Colts and Commanders are not enemies, not in the same conference, which also means they're not in the same division. So it's not that far. But those Washington fans that used to boo Carson Wentz are not going to cheer Carson Wentz. It's weird, man. Sorry, I'm just from a certain mindset. That's weird. But I think we're going to see Carson Wentz in Washington. I don't see the Carson Wentz experience getting any better. Is Washington better with Carson Wentz? That's to be determined, probably. But I don't see that experience in Carson Wentz's play getting better. Yes, he has a big boy arm. He can make big boy throws. But, buddy, I just don't see it. I don't know. His lows are so bad, and it's one of those things you just kind of live with. He's a starting quarterback. We got to live with the good. and live with the bad. Aaron Rodgers is interesting. Always has been an interesting individual. Always has been somebody that might rub people the wrong way. And he might be a person that when you hear the amount of money that he got from the Green Bay Packers, the length of his contract, the guaranteed money in the contract, you might say, I was already annoyed with Aaron Rodgers previously, but now I'm even more annoyed with him. 4 years, $200 million over the term of that four-year contract, $153 million, not dollars, $100, $153 million guaranteed. This is another way we can see that Aaron Rodgers is a good manipulator. Aaron Rodgers is getting his way. If he wants the money, great. Hopefully that money and him staying there possibly another 4 years brings a Super Bowl. Do I knock Aaron Rodgers for only having one Super Bowl? No, I personally don't. I think he should have more than one. It's hard to get there. It's extremely hard to get there. Has he had chances? Absolutely. Has he failed at times? Absolutely. But I think I've realized it's not all as easy as Tom Brady makes it seem to be. You go to the NBA. What Michael Jordan did, what Larry Bird did, what Magic Johnson did, what the Lakers did prior to that, what Bill Russell did, what the Rockets did going back-to-back, that's tough. What the Jazz did going back-to-back NBA Finals, even though they lost, that's hard. What Kobe did, what Shaq did, what Peyton Manning did, the run that he had, even though he didn't get there consecutively, he still got there twice with the Colts, got there twice with the Broncos. It's hard to get there twice. It's hard to get there once. What Brett Favre did and John Elway and all these quarterbacks, what these guys have done, it's hard. And I think sometimes we lose sight as football fans, as sports fans, about how hard it is to get to that game in whatever league you're in. Maybe a final series in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, or maybe it be the NFL, the Super Bowl. It's hard, baby. It's look at college football. People get on Kirby Smart for not getting there consistently. Do you know how hard it is to get to the college football playoff when you're playing against Alabama and Auburn? Because Auburn's been decent at times, and sometimes Florida. Do you know how hard it is to get there? I mean, let's just be honest. You're not the best team in your conference. You're never the best team in your conference. You're literally looking out and relying on somebody else to beat Alabama because you might have one loss on your record to get yourself up there into that playoff. It's hard. It's really, really hard. Got there twice. Was it 2018? And then this year was very close to winning it the previous time that they were there and then got there this time. It's hard. Very, very hard to get to that promised land, to get just literally get in that final game. So I'm not a person that really looks at, yes, Aaron Rodgers should have more Super Bowl appearances. Yes, he should. But nobody's going to be able to say if he gets there, he's going to win it. Nobody. Nobody expected Tom Brady, even as of late, to win it like this. Some of y'all were on Patrick Mahomes so hard. Y'all were saying Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes has this in the bag. Why? Because he's a new up-and-comer, not realizing that defense in Tampa was good, buddy. That was a good defense. But all y'all cared about was the quarterback. All y'all focused on was that offense. All y'all focused on were those things that you could see on offense because that's what y'all like, the flash. That's what y'all like, the points. Y'all love that. Offense wins games. Defense wins championships. Keep that in mind the next time Aaron Rodgers gets to the playoffs. And then Russell Wilson. First thing that popped into my mind, maybe a little bit immature, a little comical. I like to try to find the goofy side of every story. He's going from one state where the weed is legal to going to another state where the weed is legal. Also, I do believe the NFL is not being as forceful as they are with the marijuana. So I don't know if that was a move that Russell Wilson said, hey, man, I want to go to a state where I can hit that Mary Jane every now and then. I have no idea, none whatsoever. But me in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Russ, go from Seattle, y'all could puff pass freely, go to Denver, y'all could be up in the Mile High Stadium in the Mile High City and puff pass as much as you want. Hey, guys, this is an upgrade for Russell Wilson. But maybe we're going to see those sacks that Russell Wilson got in Seattle, as much as he got hit. Some people say, a lot of people out there say, sacks are a quarterback stat, not an offensive line stat. Let's see how things go in Denver for Russ. Let's see if that's true. Let's see that once the play starts, if he continues to get sacked as much as he did in Seattle. Because we might quickly see that those sacks, those aren't on the Seattle offensive line, but those sacks are on Russell Wilson based on and due to the way that he plays the football. Carson Wentz has a new team. Russ is in the Mile High City. And then now we got Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Green Bay got their man. Let's hope for his own sake that he gets to another Super Bowl. Because if he doesn't, boy, oh boy, y'all thought the boo birds were loud previously. Just wait if Aaron Rodgers retires after this massive contract and doesn't leave with another ring. The original plan was to have this next topic be the main topic of today's show. Calvin Ridley betting on sports, making a boneheaded decision, and really costing himself a lot of money. That was supposed to be the main topic of the show. And then as the week went on, we saw quarterbacks move. And then just a day ago, we saw Tom Brady steal the show. So I was like, there is no way I can talk about Calvin Ridley before the other gentleman that we spoke about previously in this show. If you haven't heard, Calvin Ridley has been suspended for the next year, at least through the next season. The Falcons originally suspended him for the year, and then it came out that the NFL suspended Mr. Ridley indefinitely for betting on sports. He was not playing at the time. He was out, I believe, due to mental health issues. It was while he was not playing the game. However, he bet on sports. Bet a total of $1,500 on sports. That's not all he lost, but that's what he bet out of his pocket. A three-leg parlay, a five-leg parlay, and then a seven-leg parlay. I don't know. I'm not into the sports betting, so if my terminology is off, forgive me. Total of $1,500, put some money on the Falcons to win, but he knows, everybody knows, you bet on sports, it's illegal, you can't do that, you're going to get suspended and you're jeopardizing your career. Not just money and financials immediately, but over a long period of time, you're jeopardizing a lot of money you could make from the National Football League. Speaking of money he could make that he's not going to make, by missing next season, by being suspended next year, Calvin Ridley is going to lose $11 million. Let that sink in for you. A $1,500 bet, total bet, over three different parlays, he's losing this money. And I was talking to one of my buddies about this. They were saying, like, I wonder how he got caught. I said, bro, everything is digital right now. To the point, they can pinpoint where the bet was made, from what phone, and the location the bet was made in. Because if you have FanDuel, DraftKings, any of these apps or sites you can bet on sports, they know your location. And if you're in a state where betting is illegal, they will not allow the bet to be placed. They are smart because they don't want to do anything illegal and for it to come back on them because they allowed it to happen. It's also going to come back on you because you are at a spot where you can't bet on sports. Losing $11 million, putting out of your own pocket $1,500, that's probably a luxury too. I mean, with the amount of money that athletes make, professional athletes make, you would think, hey, man, I got $1,000. It's my kind of money. You want to put $1 million on it? I mean, you're putting out money. $100,000, $200,000. You're going to put out money because these guys, I mean, I've heard about these card games these guys have on planes and on flights, bus trips as they're going around town. These guys, I mean, some guys end up leaving with $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 that they owe somebody from a card game. The money they bet on these games is astronomical to the average human being. So Calvin Ridley only putting out $1,500, baby, that's a luxury. But it's not a luxury when he's going to look at the rest of his career and how he literally is jeopardizing his NFL career to place a bet on sports. Somebody out there might say, Jay, why is it okay for the league to make money off sports betting sites, DraftKings, and the other places that they do, and for the players to not? Do you see what happened to Tim Donaghy, the NBA ref? Oh, buddy, nobody in the NBA, people like the man. He's not a horrible human being. But not many people will look at that man and say, man, go ahead, do that again. Come back in the NBA. We need some more refs. Come on and do that again. Nobody's doing that. No. Fixing games? No. No. The league can have no part of that. Pete Rose? I mean, he's the poster boy for this. Betting on sports? Betting on the team you're with. He lied about it for 25 years and it came out and said he did it. Major League Baseball is not a lot. Well, the writer is not really Major League Baseball, but he's basically been blackballed and banned from Cooperstown from going into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. The all-time hits leader. The all-time hits leader. Not in the Hall of Fame. The home run king. Not in the Hall of Fame. One guy one guy bet on baseball. Can't get in. The other guy cheated. Used steroids. Can't get in. Blackballed via the writers. But Calvin Ridley's not going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going that far. But it's the money and the reputation that's going to be out there. At least he admitted it. That's a positive. I can find positives in a lot of stories. This man admitted that he cheated. I mean, that he bet on sports. He admitted it, which is huge. But now, after the fact, should have thought about this before the fact. Betting on sports, you can't do that, bro, when you're a pro athlete. You can't do it. Playing in the game or not playing in the game. If you're under contract, buddy, you cannot do that. He also, the other idiotic thing he did, went across state lines to place the bet from his phone. The NFL ended up using a third-party company to investigate and to search and see if any of their players were placing bets on sports. I mean, the league is not stupid. They know what's possibly going to happen. So they got to hire somebody to investigate for them. And that's how Calvin Ridley got caught. You do wrong, there's a good chance he'll get caught. No matter if you're playing in the game, not playing in the game, it doesn't matter. If you're a pro athlete, you know the rules. And if you break the rules, there are going to be consequences. There's a consequence to betting on sports. It's a hefty one. And I'm sure it's one that Calvin Ridley does not like. From the NFL on the field to the people that will be calling games in the booth, maybe in Atlanta, but definitely in numerous NFL stadiums around the U.S. of A. Three of them. I forgot to mention one guy earlier, but earlier last week, it was announced that Kirk Herbstreit would be calling Thursday Night Football on Amazon. NFL-wise, that is not going to take away from his duties with College Game Day and with calling college football games on Saturdays. That also probably means that we're going to get a Kirk Herbstreit, Al Michaels duo on Amazon, because I do believe Mike Tirico is taking over for Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. A lot of moving parts here. Kirk Herbstreit to Amazon, probably Al Michaels to Amazon. I like this. I love Kirk Herbstreit. I think he's one of my favorite football nerds that's out there when it comes to college football or NFL, any variety. He's my kind of guy, my kind of nerd. I see a lot of myself in Kirk Herbstreit and the way that he carries himself and the way that he conducts himself on set and when he's calling games, when I'm broadcasting or podcasting and things like that. There's a lot of similarities there just in my head and the way that I view things and the way that he views the things on the football field as well. But the one that got a lot of buzz, way more buzz than Herbstreit to call games on Amazon on Thursday Night Football, is Troy Aikman was already rumored to be leaving Fox. He is now going to be the color commentator for Monday Night Football on the Worldwide Leader. And then Joe Buck, who had one more year left on his contract, one more year being paid $11 million. $11 million seems to be a trend nowadays, but $11 million, same number that Calvin Ridley is going to lose next year. He had $11 million left on his contract with Fox. That is Joe Buck. And Joe Buck is now going to be calling Monday Night Football with Troy Aikman. A 20-year run with those two guys together, that's not over yet. ESPN has been looking forward to trying to get more marquee games on Monday Night Football, possibly getting two games, one game on ESPN, another game on ABC. I do think Joe Buck and the track record that he has as a broadcaster, I do believe that Joe Buck is a guy that deserves to be on ABC. He is that good. I get Steve Levy. I know ESPN is having the cable-only stuff. They do the cable-only stuff for the national championship game and for the semifinal games, which I think is idiotic. You want eyeballs. You want ratings. Put it where people that don't have cable can watch the game. Hello. It's common sense. Now, March Madness NCAA tournament, I do believe this year is going to be on TBS, the Final Four and the championship. Another idiotic move at stupid, but that's the way the money has gone for them. So they have gone that route for the NCAA. Actually, it's the contract they have with Turner, but that's the way they have gone with that little broadcasting, the TV setup for those games. Joe Buck and Aikman together, this is one of my better, my favorite duos. If I'm trying to rank broadcasting duos, Buck and Aikman are up there. I know a lot of people don't like Joe Buck. I've never understood that. Doesn't make any sense to me. I think up there as well as Ian Eagle and Charles Davis when it comes to the NFL. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green, I think that's the duo. Anything Kevin Harlan touches is gold. I mean, literally gold. He's going to be calling games this Friday for the NCAA tournament. Everything he does touches gold, G-O-L-D. So whoever he's partnered up with is better because they're with Kevin Harlan. And so that's one. Kevin Harlan's great. Ian Eagle's great. Joe Buck is great. Jim Nance is great. But I don't think Jim Nance is in the category. Just to be honest with you. I think Joe Buck is better than Jim Nance. I think Ian Eagle is better than Jim Nance. I think Kevin Harlan is better than Jim Nance. But when it comes to duos, Buck and Aikman and Eagle and Charles Davis, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, you can't really go wrong either way. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth, another guy that people really just don't like for some reason. But Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, they work. They work very well. And so I like what ESPN is doing. I think that ESPN is going to possibly put Monday Night Football back on the ABC, which is huge, which is smart, the wise move to make. You know what else is going to happen? They're going to make a lot more money and possibly get back into the rotation to broadcast Super Bowls, which is ultimately what they want. They want the money, they want the eyeballs, they want the ratings, but they know if you get the Super Bowl and you get ESPN or ABC back in the rotation, it's huge for the money, it's huge for the network, and you need a big name, a big broadcasting duo, if I could talk, to make that happen. Guys, it's a fun show. Not normally going to have four topics of the day, but the NFL has been so big that the NFL dominated every second of this show. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You could also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, feel free to head to Apple Podcast, leave a five, not only Apple, but Spotify. Leave a five-star review and a rating. It's greatly appreciated. It's a free way to help the show grow. This has been episode 238 of the J. Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.